Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan.
The midday show on a Subway Series Friday. How are you? Beningo and Roberts, Joe is off. Dove and Ernie on the other side. We'll be with you till 1 o'clock this afternoon. Another beautiful day in New York City. The weather is nice. It's not too humid. And we finally have baseball again. And I have to admit, I mentioned this earlier in the week, that as much as I love baseball, I love it. Can't get enough of it. Watch every Met game, every Yankee game. I watch Padres, Dodgers. I love it all. We needed an all-star break. I needed an all-star break. I am ready for baseball. I am ready to watch games that count. Now, I know there was a game last night, the Cardinals and the Cubs, but tonight we get the full slate of action as we begin the second half of the year. What is depressing on the Met end is you really have to look for things to care about in the second half of the season. I mean, Jacob deGrom is obvious. His pursuit of winning a Cy Young and his pursuit of actually winning a couple of games, if his offense and his bullpen can actually help him out. So that is certainly interesting, and I think Cespedes is interesting. Syndergaard as well. The reason I say Yoenis is interesting, and he's going to return tonight at DH for the Mets as they take on the Yankees, twofold. Number one, if Cespedes plays first base. I am a big fan of it. I'm a big proponent of it. I want to see it. But here's number two, and I will admit it's a long shot, but I throw it out there because you never know. If he could have a big second half and stay healthy, does he become, not something you're going to get a lot back for, but more tradable during the offseason? For the teams that miss out on Manny Machado or miss out on Bryce Harper or even miss out on whatever bat they're pursuing, would they look at Yoenis with only having 2 years left on his deal and say, hey, he'd be worth pursuing? And then obviously the big question is, would Yoenis waive his full no trade? Which he may not. Who knows? I think it would depend on the situation. I admit it's a long shot. But I think the only way it could be any kind of shot is for this guy to stay healthy and give him a big second half. Outside of that with the Mets, unless they're calling up Jeffrey McNeil, unless they're calling up Peter Alonso, now, what are you watching? Michael Conforto try to actually show up? Because you know what? No matter what Conforto does in the second half of the year, you're not trusting him next year. You're not. I think Ahmed Rosario having a big second half would be encouraging. That'd be nice. Nimmo completing a full season would be nice. But you're grasping for straws if you're the Mets. So let's get to the main event, and that's this Yankee team. Now, one thing I hate hearing, and if I have said it on the air over the last 11 and a half years with Joe, I apologize. And that's this whole, well, if this team plays 500 ball, this team's got to play blah, 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 blah. Enough's enough. I don't need to hear it. Here's the simple facts when it comes to this Yankee-Red Sox race. Number one, they're going to play 10 times. Now, am I expecting the Yankees to win 9 out of 10 against the Red Sox? No. Am I expecting them to win 7 out of 10 times? Probably not. But the opportunity to catch the Boston Red Sox, and right now it may seem daunting because when you're 62-33, it isn't human to be 4.5 games back. That's not normal. It's not a normal baseball season. You should not be looking up when you're 62-33. When you're 62-33, you should have the best record in baseball. And you should have a very comfortable lead in your division. They don't. Because right now, not only are they behind the Red Sox,
the Astros are right there record-wise, if you even care about that. Right now, the meaning of that isn't not that much, but the point is you've got these three dominant teams in the American League. But I don't want to hear, well, the Red Sox play 500, Paul, the Yankees do this, the Yankees do that. Here's the thing about baseball, and Yankee fans should remember this. If you go back to when the Yankees got off to the average start, right? Remember when they were average? Well, I don't even call it a bad start because it wasn't a bad start. They got off to an average start this season. Their record was 9-9. At that moment of being 9-9, they were 7.5 games out. It took them from April 20th to May 3rd. Okay, not a bit. How much time is that? 2 weeks? To go from 7.5 out to a game out. Here's the point. Things can change very, very quickly. Now, the Red Sox have had a ridiculous season. We all know that. They have to cool off. They just have to. Unless we're looking at another version of the 2001 Seattle Mariners or the 1998 Yankees, and I don't really see it, they have to cool off. Now, the Yankees basically can't ever afford to lose if they want to pick up ground, and that's certainly difficult. But they've got 10 games head-to-head with this Red Sox team. And I think there's a couple of things going for the Yankees, even if they don't make a trade at the deadline. Number one, Gary Sanchez is back. Now, for the last month, it sounds like Gary Sanchez stinks. You know, you listen to this radio station sometimes. You hear some of the callers. Gary's this, he's that. You know, he's awful. Austin Romine should be the everyday catcher. I think some people have forgotten who Gary Sanchez is. And here's who he is. He's a guy that could hit 35 home runs. He is a guy that's much better than the 190 hitter he was in the games he played. And he's a guy with a cannon behind the plate who does a great job of shutting down a run game. And, oh, by the way, the Red Sox have a little bit of a run game. And I always look, and this works both ways, by the way, with the whole back of the baseball card thing, where, in general, you turn out to be what you are. Now, sometimes you'll have better years than others. Sometimes you'll have worse years than others. But usually you are what you are. Gary Sanchez is not a 190 hitter. He's not a 290 on-base guy. He's better than this. And the positive is, I would expect that his numbers will look more normal when this season is over, which means a big second half of the year. And a big second half for Gary Sanchez changes the dynamic of this lineup. It makes it even scarier than it is. I don't know what to expect from Greg Bird. I don't know. Well, Greg Bird is still an unproven commodity. The idea of Greg Bird has been better than the reality of Greg Bird. The idea of Greg Bird is a left-hand hitter you could put in the middle of this lineup who could take advantage of Yankee Stadium. He is the guy with the beautiful swing. He is the guy that the scouts love. He is the guy the Yankees love. The reality hasn't been that. The reality has been a guy who has had a tough time staying healthy, and when he's played, he hasn't been great. Now, he is hit for some power so far this year when he has played, but the average is still well below it needs to be. But I think when you look at this Yankee team, there are a handful of guys that I would expect to be better in the second half of the season than they were the first half of the season. This is an offense that scored a lot of runs this year. They have scored a lot of runs this year. And I think in a lot of ways can be better in the second half of the year than it was the first half of the year. The question is the pitching. We get that. Now, here's my question for Sonny Gray, and we'll see what he can do against that, you know, dominant Met lineup. What is the back of the baseball card for Sonny Gray? And I think that's why he's such an enigma, because the back of the baseball card in 2015 said he was an all-star. The back of the baseball card in 2016 said he stunk. And the back of the baseball card in 2017 said he's okay. He's okay. So far in 2018, he's terrible. So what is it? And I don't think any of us really know the answer about Sonny Gray. Tanaka's been very mediocre this year, but that's not going to stop the fact that I think most of us look at Tanaka as a guy you would trust to give the baseball to in a big spot, not only down the stretch, but certainly in a playoff game. I see no reason why Luis Severino isn't going to be dominant. I mean, he's been dominant now for a year and a half. But they are going to do something in the next 2 weeks. I don't know what it is. I guess it's less than 2 weeks now. A little bit less than 2 weeks. They're going to do something. We know it's not going to be Brad Hand. Give the Indians credit. They stepped up. They needed to improve their bullpen, and they certainly did that yesterday. They gave up a lot, but you know what? They're trying to win. No messing around. They haven't won a championship in a long time. They certainly came close a couple of years ago. It was massively disappointed how they got knocked out last year, especially after they had that long winning streak. Indians needed to be aggressive, and the Indians were an example yesterday of something I always say when it comes to the trade deadline. The desperate team usually gets the guy. And the Indians are desperate. Why wouldn't they be desperate? I mean, the Indians should be desperate more so than the New York Yankees, because why would the Yankees be desperate? They have a loaded bullpen. Just because Chase and Treve isn't that good, that's not going to make them desperate. That's the thing about the Yankees. They're not desperate. Why would they be desperate? They're on pace to win over 100 games. Do they have holes in the back of the rotation? Fine. If an ace was available, not that they'd be desperate, but sure, they may be the most aggressive. But Brian Cashman knows that Jay Happ is not that good. So he's not going to give up a crazy amount for Jay Happ. Why would he? He's not going to give up a crazy amount for Cole Hamels. Why would he? But some of these other teams, I think, have more of a reason to be desperate. The Indians have to win. Enough's enough. They came very close 2 years ago, like we said. We know what happened last year against the Yankees. They have a long, long drought. They got to win. Their bullpen's a mess. They have to win. I think the Brewers should be desperate. They don't know how long their window's going to be. They have to go out and they have to be aggressive. I think the Dodgers needed to be aggressive and desperate. Yankees don't have to. And if there was a guy out there that would get you all hot and bothered, if they had a guy out there that was an ace, then, yeah, maybe Brian Cashman would blow everybody away. But that guy's not out there. Jay Happ's not an ace. Zach Wheeler's not an ace. Michael Fulmer may have ace potential, but here's the way I look at Fulmer, and his name's been mentioned a lot lately. Trading for Michael Fulmer reeks of a move that is as much about 2020 and 2019 as it is 2018. Because when you trade for Michael Fulmer, a part of the things you say about him is, well, he's only 25. You say that. You say, I have control over him for a long time. He's not a free agent until 2023. Those are the things you say. You don't cite this season. Really? You're going to cite his 4.50 ERA? You're not going to cite it. So I'm not against going out and trading for Michael Fulmer, depending on what the price tag is. But that's the kind of trade, and it is sort of similar to the Sonny Gray trade last year. It's a trade that is as much about next year as it would be this year. And I think the Yankees are about both, you know, depending on the guy and depending on the haul. But just because you have a lot of prospects doesn't mean you have to go out there and throw them all out the window. And right now, when you look at the starting pitchers that are available, none of them are that good. Zach Wheeler is not that good. Come on, every Met fan knows Zach Wheeler is not that good. If the Mets could get a decent prospect for Zach Wheeler, goodbye. See you later. Steven Matz is different. Zach Wheeler, see you later. The Yankees know Zach Wheeler's not a number two or even a number three. They know what Jay Happ is. Hamels, the thing about Hamels, and I'm okay going and getting Cole Hamels because I don't think you have to give up anything, and I like the fact that he has the experience, and Hamels is more of, hey, we're doing this for right now. Cole Hamels' numbers the last, let's say, really the last 2 years have been mediocre at best. But I think you look at Hamels and say, you put him in this situation, maybe he pulls a Verlander and, you know, doesn't dominate the way Verlander dominates, but maybe we see more of the Cole Hamels from Philadelphia in 2011 and 2012 than the guy who's pitched to a, you know, a mediocre 4-plus ERA with Texas. So I could see the appeal of that. So I don't know what it is. It's probably not going to be the sexy, splashy thing, but Cashman's going to do something before the deadline. But don't get freaked out. Yankee fans, I'm here for you. Don't get freaked out by, if the Red Sox play 500, we have to do this. Baseball is such a wacky game that if the Yankees can come out of this All-Star break, and it's entirely possible, even though the pitching matchups do not favor them this weekend against the Mets, if they could go out and beat the Mets and beat the Rays and get on a winning streak, don't freak out about who the Red Sox are playing. I get it. They're playing bad. They're playing the Tigers and the Orioles. I understand it. Baseball's a kooky game. You could turn that deficit from 4 to a game in 5 days. It could actually be sooner if you're doing the math at home. But all you've got to do is go back in a late April and early May and see how quickly the Yankees turned 7-plus into a game out. It was lightning quick, so don't get freaked out by all these numbers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.